What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Arnies. We're two guys that live in the valley and are just trying to stay out of the karate scene, which is actually pretty hard, a bit harder than you would think, since the entire community seems to be involved more and more by the day. I'm Matt Johnson, and I'm a huge fan of Sweeping the Leg.
And I'm Keith Baker, and I really need to work on my waxing on and waxing off.
That's true. I mean, you gotta learn that so you can become a secret karate master and even stay that way at the age of 60, like my good friend Ralph Macchio. On today's show, we're just going to be kind of shooting the shit on one of our favorite franchises that has a lot going on this year, actually, and that's the Karate Kid and Cobra Kai universe. We're expecting the sixth and final season of Cobra Kai to drop this year at some point, and we also have that surprise project that was announced relatively recently, and I think it's just called The Karate Kid, at least as of now, and that's coming out in December, which follows Ralph Macchio and the surprise return of Jackie Chan, and they're both training a new era. And that kind of inspired us to, ahead of all that coming out, just talk about the franchise as a whole. So let's get right on into it, Keith. An important question. Where should we start? What do you want to say about this universe just as a primer, now that we've officially entered the dojo, as we like to say?
Yeah, Matthew, there's a lot to cover here. You know, we had the original trilogy and then the Jackie Chan. Well, no, the original trilogy. Then we had the fourth one with...
With Hilary Swank.
Yeah, Hilary Swank. And then we had the Jackie Chan, Jaden Smith, and then we have the series Cobra Kai. Like, it's crazy. It's been a crazy, unexpected, turn for the franchise. I thought this universe pretty much ended with the Jackie Chan, Jaden Smith movie. So, it's hard to pick a starting point for our conversation, but I'll just go ahead and ask you, what were your expectations for Cobra Kai, and were you surprised that they were even making a series that following our Karate Kid story?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's kind of funny thinking back on it. I don't even remember which year Cobra Kai started. Was it like around 2018, 2019, something like that? I know we've had five seasons now, which is wild to think. But I mean, to your point, it is an interesting franchise to kind of track the timeline of, because you had three movies come out pretty back-to-back in the 80s, and the law of diminishing returns happened very fast for that franchise. The first one comes out, it is one of the most, like, highest earners, super profitable for that year, and they were like, okay, holy shit, we need to fast-track a sequel, like, right now. That sequel comes out, and people at the time, at least, are immediately like, whoa, that was way worse than the first one, and it made so much less money. And they were like, bah, that's okay. People still love the franchise. Make a third one. And then it lost money, and then it became like a box office bomb. And then the fact that they decided to make a fourth one years later with not even Ralph Macchio is beyond me, and that is another box office bomb. So to your point, it's like, how did this franchise kind of sustain itself despite being like an iconic name, The Karate Kid?
Yeah.
When you look back on it, they were not very successful at the time, besides the first one, both critically and financially. So to your point, when it was kind of a big deal when it's like, hey, we're kind of rebooting the franchise, very different, kind of the same story, same vibes, but incredibly different setting and characters with the Jaden Smith, Jackie Chan one, a movie that is actually, I think a lot of people don't give it a chance. And I think now that Cobra Kai has come out, it's given people less of a reason to go back and kind of watch that one since it's an outlier, but it's really good. I think that's really, yeah, like, actually good movie. But again, to your point, the fact that Cobra Kai got off the ground at all based on the franchise's past is very bizarre. But then, as you were asking that question, it made me realize, but we have to remember, this was not originally a Netflix show. This was a YouTube show, which is kind of wild to think back to that. It's like, shows that went directly to YouTube were certainly not looked upon favorably. Those were shows that, like, you would hear about, like, shows that were being made for, like, YouTube Red or YouTube Premium, whatever it was at the time. Like, I'm not going to watch that. Like, I watch YouTube. I'm not going to pay for extra content where YouTube has everything already. But then you start to hear, like, holy shit, guys, Cobra Kai? This thing's pretty good. I was like, okay, I'll do a week trial and I'll watch it. I watched season one. And, like, fell in love with it. I, like, watched it all at once, thought it was incredible. And then season two comes out, and I, like, do another, like, week trial with, like, a different account to watch that. And then Netflix picks it up, and the rest is history. So, yeah, to answer your question, I'm super surprised, based on this franchise's, like, storied history of not being super successful in a lot of different senses, that Cobra Kai got off the ground. But I think the fact that it was, like, a YouTube show, YouTube was probably like, yeah, give us whatever. Like, we'll make people pay for it. Like, It wasn't Netflix at the time, and then Netflix was like, okay, this thing's actually good and huge, so we'll pick it up now.
Yeah, that's when I started watching it, is when it went to Netflix. I mean, I was kind of, you know, interested in it, obviously, because I liked the original Karate Kid, and, you know, I watched the other two movies of the trilogy as a kid. But when it first came out, I guess in, like you said, 2018, I didn't really pay any mind to it too much. I was like, oh, man, they're extending this universe. That's interesting, with the older Ralph Macchio and older Billy Zabka coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't go to YouTube to watch it, but once it dropped on Netflix, I was like, okay, let me give it a shot and see what's going on. And I'm glad I did, because it's been a fun one, but it definitely has, it still carries like that the corniness from like the 80s franchise, yeah, for sure, and it has like all like the high school type drama. But they also do a really good job with the adult drama though too, especially I would say in seasons 1 and 2 with Johnny. And his whole character arc is crazy.
Yeah, it's just it's just a show with really good writing. But I feel like you're not alone. I think a lot of people jumped on board whenever it came to Netflix. Probably been hearing about it for a while, and it became like the biggest YouTube show ever. And then every time a new season drops on Netflix, it's like the biggest thing on there. It's like the number one for weeks and weeks. And God, I can't wait for more. And without question, I think the success of Cobra Kai has led them to announcing a new Karate Kid movie. Like we said, coming out later this year, and you have to wonder, like, I feel like maybe the curse of the franchise not doing well at the box office might end with this, and now there's kind of a background, and we have people in this writer's room, the creators of Cobra Kai, they're, like, good at what, they know the franchise, they're good writers, so I feel like we can expect maybe a better movie from this. I don't know, so maybe, I guess what I'm saying is, like, this universe is about to get a lot bigger. I don't know. But either way, again, you know, here we are this week. We're talking about another franchise that we unabashedly love. We did that last week with Fast and Furious, and we said the same thing last week. We were like, hey, this is the part of our show where normally we say, like, we do a spoiler warning, and then you come back, but we're not going to do that today. But again, if for some godforsaken reason you haven't seen the Karate Kid movies, you haven't seen Cobra Kai, if you're someone that just hasn't freaking entered the dojo yet, what are you doing? You have to go in. There's something in this franchise for everybody to love. It's cheesy. It's heartfelt. It's emotional. It's badass, as Johnny Lawrence would say. Go watch it and then come on back to the rest of this episode. Or, of course, you don't care. I'm not going to force you. Just stick with us. It's going to be a good time. Keith, let's do a little bow to each other right now. Let's put our headbands on, because we're about to get into the fascinating world of karate that's exclusive to the Valley in California.
So Matthew, we got a lot to cover. Like I said, we got the original trilogy. We can maybe shit on the Hilary Swank movie for a second or two later. We can also touch on the Jaden Smith, Jackie Chan, of course. And we gotta, you know, get into the meat of Cobra Kai, and then we'll touch on the new one coming out. So first, let's jump into Cobra Kai. I think we should start there, since that's the most recent, and you and I have been pumped up about this show for the last few years. And you know, like we talked about, I started watching it in probably 2020. You started watching it from the get go. Let's jump into how they started it off. I was really impressed with how they kind of played into more of the Johnny character, going, you know, starting from episode one. They start off with Johnny Lawrence, who was the villain from the original trilogy, or I guess you could call him the bully, who was kind of good towards the end of the trilogy, still kind of like a dick to Ralph Macchio's character. Yeah. But we start off with him and Cobra Kai just kind of being this lost soul. You know, he's kind of a drunk. He's drinking lots of beer. He's losing jobs.
He's
living
also kind of blatantly racist and homophobic at the beginning too. So it's like, you know, that's what you're kind of talking about, I think, when you were alluding to in the opening. It's like, yes, Cobra Kai maintains the cheesiness and goofiness and kind of like that, I don't know, that 80s vibe that's heartfelt from the originals, but they definitely stepped it up, I think, in terms of the writing. They don't hold back when it comes to the adult themes. Like, Johnny Lawrence does not start out as a good guy in Cobra Kai season one.
No.
But the arc, not just throughout that season, but all of them is, like, pretty astounding to the level where I would, and I'm not, you know, I know we like say like, I mean, last week is a great example. We're talking about Fast and Furious is the best thing ever. But like without hyperbole, I really do think like Johnny Lawrence, if we're looking at the past 10 years, is one of the best written like television characters that we've seen.
Yes, for sure. You can tell he's still like holding on to his 80s, I guess, state of mind. And like he just loved that era. And now he's
the definition of somebody that peaked in high school.
Yes.
That never moved on and couldn't move on.
Exactly. Yeah. And now he's just kind of. Yeah, he's kind of pathetic. He's just holding on to the past, and his relationships are all messed up with his kid, his ex-wife, everything, and everybody he comes into contact with is kind of gets beat up by him verbally, or he just has nothing to do with anybody. So yeah, it's kind of like a sad opening, but I thought it was such a cool opening to have.
Oh, yeah.
And like kind of realistic in a way.
Absolutely. It hooked me right away. And kind of the inverse of just having him hook back up with Daniel LaRusso, played by the venerable Ralph Macchio.
Yes.
And just like in that first scene, like I think they're like at an the LaRusso like auto shop or whatever, and like Johnny Lawrence is just trying to get his car fixed, and like he just walks in. He's not there to provoke anything, and the second he walks in, Daniel LaRusso recognizes him and just starts making fun of him in front of his friends. It's like, what the fuck, dude? You're a dick.
Yeah.
So I like that flip. But, I mean, just their journey over the series is so good, because they easily could have made Cobra Kai like a 5 or 6 season thing where they butt heads the whole time, and then like maybe at the very end of the last season they come together. But watching their friendship kind of blossom over these seasons has been really nice. And like they're just people that always could have and should have been friends, but they never gave it the chance.
Yeah.
The same way Johnny Lawrence like can't let go of the fact that he lost that one fight. And he's basically saying, one fight that I lost in high school has defined the entire rest of my life. Like, I'm going to be a curmudgeon and a dick because I lost one fight. And he brings it up constantly. Whereas, I mean, the inverse, I guess, is better, but it's still kind of annoying. You have Daniel LaRusso, which almost feels like in some ways he's built his entire life on the fact that he, like, won a fight in high school.
Yes.
I know that's being, I'm over-exaggerating by a lot, but I'm saying there's definitely something there. And so watching those characters find a middle ground is interesting. And, you know, kind of to look back at where it all started in, like, Karate Kid is very interesting, too.
Well, no, I mean, I think you nailed it. They wrote the characters of Johnny and Daniel being the same. You know, they are both hanging on to the past, and they both have different versions of their story. And everybody else around him is like, what's wrong with you guys? Y'all are like clinging to this weird karate feud from the 80s. Like, you have a car dealership to run. what are you doing?
One of the best characters in Cobra Kai is Daniel's wife.
Yes.
She's gotten like even more like involved as the seasons go on, which I love because she's great. But yeah, I also love every time where she's like, what the fuck? Like, what are we doing? Like, yeah, you're right. Like, we have a business to run, and we have two children. We have a family. Like, can we focus on that? That's a great point, because, I mean, Daniel holds on to the past just in a different way. It's like, his mentor dies, and it's almost like, especially in the early seasons, he can't make a decision without being, what would Mr. Miyagi do or say? It's like, yeah. I mean, can't you think for yourself? So he's holding on to the past in, like, kind of a different way. But I always love when they break the tension with, like, a character like his wife or someone else or one of his kids walking in and being like, what? You guys are like 60. We're holding on to this karate like blood pact or something.
Yeah. Or yeah, and they run into other characters from the original series, and they're like,
yeah,
you were such a dick to me back in high school. And the guy's like, dude, like I run a furniture store now. Like everybody's cool. We don't have any problems anymore.
And then I think it's also funny when you see someone like Chosen come in the later seasons, and he's like already let it all go. He kind of plays with Daniel a little bit, mm-hmm. making him feel like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, I let that go. You should probably let it go too, but I'll teach you some cool karate.
But I'm so glad. Yeah, I'm so glad they were able to get all these characters from the series to come back. Like the guy who plays Barnes, who owns the furniture shop. And you get Kreese and Terry Silver.
Oh my God. Haven't even mentioned the greatest of all of them. Terry Silver, who I've said might be the greatest villain of all time next to Darth Vader. I mean, truly unbelievable. The performance in Karate Kid 3, the fact that they let this, I think, relatively unknown actor just run with it and be like a very, I don't even know what you call him, like a maniacal businessman that whenever his like washed up friend comes up to him and is like, I got one of my prize student couldn't beat this one guy, kid in a high school karate tournament. Now I'm washed up and I'm done. I don't have my dojo anymore for some reason. Could you help me, my old Vietnam War buddy? And he's like, I just polluted all of Borneo. Yes, I'm going to take time off and help you. And then he just tortures this young high school kid for like several weeks. And then comes back in Cobra Kai, a reformed man. But then the same Vietnam War buddy, like over time, as Terry Silver's trying to be a good teacher and trying to be a good person somehow, twists and makes him fall back into his old ways. It's like the arc is unbelievable. And then culminating in Cobra Kai season 5, the end as of now, where Daniel LaRusso crane kicks him in the face and he falls all over his trophies. Is like, what a journey we've had. I think one of the reasons, you know, you talk about a lot of franchises these days that are, I don't know what you call them, I guess like they're kind of reboots, but they're also sequels. Mm-hmm. I think the reason a lot of those fail is because, yes, you bring back, you know, a lot of familiar faces, and that's cool. But you really have to have a new cast, and that new cast has to be, A, like, good actors, and B, really compelling and have their own interesting stories and side plots that also factor into and, like, kind of meet up with our original characters. The reason a lot of franchises kind of get maligned or divisive now, whether it be something like Star Wars or Ghostbusters or whatever it may be, is because that new cast is where they kind of drop the ball. I think one of the reasons Cobra Kai has like gone on for now, like about to be 6 seasons, is because like this younger cast is like fantastic. I love all of them.
Yeah, this could be like a standalone show just for the new generation. You know, they don't have to really know the old Karate Kid trilogy. Unless their parents show it to them or whatever. But yeah, the new cast is great. I would say like it's almost, I don't even know what the split is. If it's like 60-40, like if it's 60% new cast screen time, 40% old cast screen time. It's a good mix. But yeah, I think that's a good point, though. I think if you can have a good new cast to kind of anchor off of and then have the fun nostalgia stuff come in on the side, that's where it works. If you were trying to do all nostalgia and then have like 10% new cast, it wouldn't work as well.
And the fact that like somebody like Miguel, you know, gets to spend so much time with Johnny, and like, dude, like, I mean, again, talking about the adult themes, it's like Johnny Lawrence is also, we have to remember, this is a guy that abandoned his child.
Yes,
I mean, that's pretty fucked up. And like the ending of season 1, I mean, it seems like a far cry from now, but like, he abandons his child. His child ends up finding solace with somebody like Daniel LaRusso without telling LaRusso who he is. He's not like, hey, Johnny Lawrence is my dad. And then the final fight of that season is Johnny Lawrence with a newly formed Cobra Kai with Miguel, this really nice kid who he's kind of formed into a bit of a bully, a bit of like a, you know, someone that likes violence, fighting his own son paired with Daniel LaRusso. I mean, wild. But like, watching, that's another arc that I think has been really compelling, is just like watching Johnny. He may have like left a family member behind, so to speak, in the past, but he is still capable of like, I don't know, that love and like that attention. He does kind of take to Miguel and kind of raises him in a sense. And now he's officially part of the family, as we know at the end of season 5, because he's with his mom now and they're about to have a new child. But then like watching him, like, you know, kind of a Robbie comes back around. And one of the best scenes, I think, in the series is, I can't remember when it was, maybe like season 4, maybe? It was after one of the big fights. I think Robbie loses. I can't really remember. But he comes to meet with his dad, and they have like a really emotional reunion. And just watching like that pair kind of come back together. I mean, this is like, I don't know how the creators did it or how the writers did it, because like we said at the get-go, they still have all the like the cheesiness and the corniness that you would expect from this franchise based on how it started. But you have all of these like really heavy and emotional and like dramatic scenes, but they never feel out of place. Like the dramatic stuff never feels like super out of place, and neither does the comedy. I don't really know how you write that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, they do a good job with the, as corny as it can get sometimes, with the kid drama too. You know, you have all the different feel good moments you get with, the other, I guess less main characters like Hawk and Tori and all those people who are all, they all have their like love triangles slash feuding beefs and all that. And they're all switching dojos, going back and forth. And then you're like, oh, finally. And then at the end of season five, you finally get everybody on the side that you want them to be on. I think that was good throughout seasons, probably two through five. The bullies become the good guys. The good guys become the bullies. Then you get a little bit of a mix in there. And then finally,
there's nuance. The good guys are not always all good, which I like. But I'm totally with you. I think the ending of season five is so cool because we finally reached a place where all of our characters, you know, Daniel and Johnny are now buddy-buddy. You also have Chosen and Mikey Barnes on the side there, so they could come in to be other adult kind of supervisors. But the point is, our main adults are together, and now all of the kids are on the same side. So now you have this huge group, and what's our... But it's like, okay, well, if they're all in one group, then who do you fight now? And the answer is, well, we're going fucking international for the final season. Set up this massive, like, karate tournament in Japan that we're going to have to go to. Will Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith be there? It's possible. Will Hilary Swank be running a different dojo? It's possible. So, I mean, it's an exciting prospect, and it never felt forced. They spent five seasons kind of slowly moving our characters toward the same side so they can all work together to defeat the ultimate evil, which is a corporate international karate tournament.
We got to touch on Kreese, too. Do you remember the fact that he escapes from prison at the end?
By faking his own death?
Yeah. It's ketchup! And he just gets up and beats the shit out of everybody. So
truly
funny.
A crazy scene. So, Keith, we're definitely going to spend some time here talking about our final season predictions, but in kind of a Quentin Tarantino pacing twist, I'd like to pause there and now go back to the very beginning.
Okay.
Before we get to the ending, so to speak. Kind of play with the timeline here. So, we've talked about, like, the original trilogy. Let's talk about it a little bit more. Just, like, we don't have to go in, like, in-depth or anything, but I just want to know, what are some of your favorite elements or moments? Because whenever I think about the Karate Kid trilogy, I don't know how you feel. I think about the first one being kind of a perfect movie. And what I mean by that, is it like one of my favorite movies of all time? No. I just think it's a perfectly executed movie. I can't point to any real fault with it, right? I just think for like, it's got to be one of the best family films of all time.
Yes.
It's funny. It's heartfelt, it's dramatic, it's emotional, and it's really badass, especially by the end. And I think you have one of the – people joke about the relationship between, like, Marty McFly and Doc Brown just being like, how do these guys become friends? Because believe it or not, they never address it. And I just – I love the relationship between Daniel and Mr. Miyagi. It's, like, organic. It's not weird. You never question it. You're like, how did they meet? It's just, well, he just happened to work at the place that he lived. So I think it's a great movie. So, like I said, whenever I think about the trilogy, I think about that for part one. But I feel like I find my mind wandering when I think about best moments or favorite moments to two and three. Because holy shit, they made that first one. Critical darling, made so much money. And they were like, instead of like kind of trying to find a nuanced way to continue the franchise, they just went balls to the wall immediately. The second one, let's go to Japan and explore Mr. Miyagi's past. Turns out he has a blood feud with his best friend. It's like, whoa, and now there's this guy Chosen that wants to kill Daniel. It's like, oh my God. And then three, as we already said, is one of the wildest movies I've ever seen. One of the funniest movies I've ever... It's terrible, but it's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen, and I love it to death. So, like, what do you think of immediately when you think of the trilogy? Do you kind of, like, focus on part one being good, or are you like me, where I kind of find myself thinking about the goofiness of part two and three more?
Yeah, part one's always the one I'm more nostalgic for, and then two and three are always the ones I just forget about, you know? Like, I remember watching them a couple times as a kid, and I would always... I remember growing up always confusing the two, between two and three, like the timelines. I would always have to go back and like, which one was the one where they go to Japan? I'm like, oh yeah, it's the second one. I would always confuse the timelines. And then the fourth one came out with Hilary Swank, and that confused me even more as a kid watching these. But the first one will always be, like you said, like the perfect one out of all of them, because you get the good karate action. You get the family storyline with Daniel and his mom. But then you also get like the new father figure mentor type from Mr. Miyagi, played by Pat Morita, who I think plays that character so perfectly.
Absolutely.
And then you get the funny. Yeah, then you get the the funny villains like Terry Silver and Kreese. Well, Terry Silver comes in the third one, but great addition to the third one. But Kreese is the perfect, I guess, adult villain. And then you get Johnny Lawrence in the first one is the perfect kid villain. And then you start seeing that, you already start seeing through the trilogy, Johnny's, I guess, arc. And they joke about it in How I Met Your Mother with, I guess, Neil Patrick Harris' character. He always says, like, you know, Daniel's the real villain, Johnny's the actual hero in it. And that does kind of come to light in Cobra Kai in a way where, like, Johnny, like, they kind of have some flashbacks and Johnny's like, well, remember, you kind of, like, just stole my girl and, like, you kind of swooped in. I didn't even do anything to you yet. There's all these different sides to the story, which I thought they built in perfectly to the Cobra Kai with the nice flashbacks and with Johnny kind of telling his side of everything. So I thought that was great. But to answer your question fully about the original trilogy, yeah, the first one I think is the one I will always go back and rewatch. And I kind of do, after this discussion, I do want to go back and maybe rewatch the second and third later, just for fun.
You should. If it's been a while, you should watch them.
Yeah.
They're funny.
Yeah, because then you also get a new kid bully in the third one, with that being Barnes, who we see come back with the furniture store in Cobra Kai. But yeah, they're nostalgic and they're...
Yeah, whenever I think about like some of the wild moments, I think about at the end of two, where like a monsoon or something like hits where they're at in Japan.
That's right.
And Miyagi and the person that he's feuding with, his best friend from childhood, he has to like save him by pulling a tree off of him. Like, Daniel ends up saving this little girl that's like trapped, and then she comes back in Cobra Kai as like the leader of a Japanese like auto dealership that ends up helping Daniel's business. And then truly one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen is then this final fight where Daniel's standing on this like square platform and there's a small bridge leading to it that then like just falls in the water, even though Daniel could just like jump off of it. It falls in the water, and then Chosen fucking out of nowhere, there's a zip line nearby, and he just zip lines down to this platform that Daniel's on in order to kill him. He's literally trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Not being hyperbolic. He doesn't want to like do a karate fight like Johnny Lawrence. No. He wants to murder Daniel dishonoring him.
Yeah, Chosen's a new, like a different level. And then in Cobra Kai, he goes to a different level too, and he fights Terry Silver. He pulls out his knives and they go at it like, oh my God, this is crazy. These guys are not just going to hurt each other.
But yeah, don't get me started on three. Oh, this is a movie that I have like distinct, when I close my eyes, I have distinct flashes of when I was a kid. I think about the scene where Daniel and Miyagi are like, I don't know what you would call it. They're like rappelling down like a mountain near the water to like plant a bonsai tree on the side of a cliff or something. Wild. But this is also the movie that, we don't want to forget, Daniel and Mr. Miyagi open a bonsai store.
Yes.
Daniel tells Mr. Miyagi, I'm not going to go to college. I want to open this store with you. And Miyagi's like, that sounds good to me, Daniel-san. It's like, yeah, that's going
to
fail.
Miyagi lets Daniel give him his college money, too, to contribute to it.
Yeah,
I
think Daniel uses the money he had set aside for college, or his mom had, in order to buy a plane ticket the same day to fly to Japan with Mr. Miyagi in part two.
Oh my God.
And then Miyagi's like, oh, you're a good guy, Daniel. And it's like, okay, I guess.
Why would you let this kid do that?
Part three, the amount of crazy moments in this is truly, I don't even know where to start. I mean, one thing, Keith, you might not remember this. The love interest, if we're talking about love interests, part one and part two nailed it. I think Daniel and Elizabeth Shue in part one, how cute. Super cute. Very nice. Loved it. Part two, him and Kimiko, very cute. Loved it. Glad they both came back to Cobra Kai. But the love interest in part three also came back to Cobra Kai, revealed to be, I think, the cousin?
Yeah,
of
cousin.
Daniel's wife.
Yeah.
Played by Robin Lively, who's great. But the problem is, like, in part three, he's now late 20s, early 30s. And Robin Lively, related to Blake Lively, fun fact, is like 16. They cast her as the love interest, and she's 16. And Ralph Macchio's like, I'm not doing any, like, what? I'm not doing anything romantic with them. So yeah. She's the love interest, but they never like kiss or touch or do anything weird. And then she's just absent for the final act, which is one of my favorite things about it. It's like, what a weird choice. But I mean, all of my favorite moments, of course, involve Terry Silver. Whenever he's like convincing him to come to Cobra Kai and like he teaches him to fight dirty. And like as Daniel is like wearing a Cobra Kai gi and like fighting dirty, Terry Silver like walks off camera, stands behind a doorway, and just literally into camera starts maniacally laughing. Yeah.
It's so crazy. And then they bring it back in the Cobra Kai too. He does like the same exact thing. He goes behind the wall.
They definitely flash back to it because Daniel has like some like emotional moment where he's like, you know, you all fear Cobra Kai, you all just you have disdain for it, but I have to tell you, I was once Cobra Kai, and all the kids are like, oh. And then it, like, flashes back to him, like, punching all these boards and this dummy, and then Terry Silver walks away, like,
and then,
what a wild show.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, I'm watching Cobra Kai, I see this flashback, and my immediate reaction is like, and it's not me laughing, because I should be laughing, but I'm like, oh my god.
I did start laughing, though, in Cobra Kai whenever before Silver starts going bad again in Cobra Kai, whenever he's trying to, like, make his amends with Daniel. And he's like, back in those days, LaRusso, I was just a screwed up man. I was high on coke. It was the 80s.
Yeah, he acknowledged that he was just high on drugs.
Yeah, I was all coked up. You know, I was being a menace to this kid, you know? I was just a messed up individual back then. They start doing more flashbacks. I started laughing my ass off.
But then again, isn't it wild that Cobra Kai establishes that? But then they flash back and they show Kreese during the Vietnam War literally basically sacrificing his life to save Terry Silver. Like there's this weird fucked up thing with Anthony Michael Hall where he's like, come fight me, you prisoners of war.
Oh,
and like,
yeah.
They open the cage and then like they're like dragging Terry Silver out. And then Kreese is like, no, I'll go. And then he like kills Anthony Michael Hall and throws him into like the pit of cobras, hence probably the name Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
And then he walks back and young Terry Silver's like, you saved my life. Like, I owe you forever, brother. But it's like, a person that went through that and saw those things, of course, would develop a cocaine addiction. So it's like, I was laughing with you whenever he's like, I was so fucked up on coke. But then they flash back later, and then I start to feel bad. Like,
yeah,
that's what Cobra Kai does.
Yeah. I mean, they do make the storylines of all the adult characters pretty realistic. I'm like, with Kreese being homeless and kind of having his PTSD. Mm-hmm. And having to go to like the VA clinic and all that kind of stuff. And it was like, okay, yeah, these guys are messed up for a reason.
Yeah.
The war messed them up.
Absolutely.
That's why they became menaces to these kids. And
but the kids too. That's what I liked about that's what I like about Cobra Kai is like I think the original trilogy kind of shied away from that kind of stuff when it came to the children, whereas Cobra Kai leans into it. One of my favorite moments was whenever like Tori, who is a fucking menace.
Yeah.
In the early seasons. Like, there's nothing to like about her, really.
No.
And then they reveal later on that, like, actually she's at home, like, taking care of her, like, bedridden and sick. I don't think it's mother, maybe grandmother, but then also having to raise, like, her younger brother at the same time. And so she's, like, doing all this karate stuff and, like, going to school and, like, doing the best she can. And then outside of that, she's, like, also having to be the breadwinner for the family and make money by doing these odd, weird jobs.
Yeah.
And then, like, I remember like, there's a scene where, like, Kreese comes to her house at one point and kind of sees what's going on and kind of takes her in, and then Terry Silver, like takes her in later. And then you kind of go, well, obviously, I mean, I don't like this character, but I can understand maybe why Cobra Kai would appeal to them and why they might be the way why they're angry, because their life is awful. Like, they're sad and angry, and they're taking it out in the wrong way. So, yeah, Cobra Kai doesn't shy away from that with the kids. But, Keith, my next question for you is, we talked about the trilogy. We've talked a lot about Cobra Kai. Let's take a quick little detour here. You know, we did our little trip back to the beginning. What do you think / remember about The Next Karate Kid, a.k.a. The Karate Kid Part 4, starring Mr. Miyagi and Hilary Swank?
Yeah, I remember watching as a kid a couple
times.
Because
this was a Disney Channel, not original movie, but this was a movie that ran constantly on Disney, I remember.
Yeah, Disney would play it a lot, and I would watch it every now and then. I don't remember too much from it. I remember Hilary Swank was, I guess, the new Daniel's son, fill-in, you know?
Yes.
He needed a new... he needed, Danielson was like off at college or whatever, so he needed a new fill-in mentee, I guess. And Hilary Swank was the one. And I think they travel to China, right? Don't they go to China?
No.
No?
But the fact that you thought that is incredible to me.
I can't remember anything.
Okay, so this is weird for me because Keith, you clearly haven't seen this movie in a long time. So like, I've seen it recently and I'm very familiar with it. I'm listening to what you're saying and I'm trying to think about why you would say
I think
I might know why you would say that. So we could do an entire episode on me, like literally just like reading detailed notes to Keith about the plot of Karate Kid or Part 4, Next Karate Kid. And just getting his reactions to things, that would be a really funny episode. Maybe we should have done that for this. But so Karate Kid Part 4, I'm going to get to the China part in a second. But I just want to tell you the beginning of it because it's wild. So they basically reveal that Hilary Swank, I think she lives with her grandmother. Yeah, it's her grandmother. It's like in Boston or something. And you know, Hilary Swank, she's a young kid. She's got an attitude problem, right? She's kind of a bad kid, so to speak.
Yep.
And so her grandmother's, I believe, partner recently dies. And he was a veteran. So she goes to the funeral. And who comes up? Mr. Miyagi, who served with him.
Oh.
So he's very familiar with, obviously, with that person that died. But also he was friends with Hilary Swank's grandmother. And she tells him, my granddaughter, she lives with me. You know, my daughter, her mother, passed away. She's very angry and sad. I don't know how to get through to her. And Mr. Miyagi literally tells her, well, why don't, you know, I traveled here for this funeral. What if we did a little house swap? What if you fly to California, you stay in my house, you take care of it, water my plants, do all that jazz. I'm going to stay in your house with your granddaughter and basically give her an attitude check. That's the catalyst of the movie. And then, Keith, I shit you not, at one point, a pizza delivery driver is driving down the road after Hilary Swank runs out of frustration from the house because Mr. Miyagi's, like, waxing poetic. And she's like, fuck off, old man! And a pizza delivery driver almost runs her over. And she does, like, a karate, like, front flip landing on the hood. And then Mr. Miyagi's eyes go, oh, shit. It's time to learn karate.
She's got that bug.
She's got that in her. But I think you're thinking they try. Oh, God. Them traveling to China, I think you're thinking of a scene where Mr. Miyagi and her are taking a road trip. And again, I think they start in Boston and somehow they drive to a Buddhist monastery.
Oh,
I guess outside of Boston. And
so not
they
China.
Stay there for a few days for Miyagi to teach her more karate and also for her to learn to Buddhist monk, like to learn from the Buddhist monks, which culminate in them saying, Julie-san, it's your birthday. We got something for you. And she's like, what? And then they take her into a room and they shoot. It's like a ceremony where they shoot an arrow at Mr. Miyagi. I think he catches it.
Yeah.
Great gift, I guess. But what a movie. What a movie.
Wow. Yeah, then I guess I didn't remember the whole going to a monk monastery. I thought, for whatever reason, I guess my kid brain just mixed up all those memories together. Who knows?
All right. So we had the Next Karate Kid, and then we had the next Karate Kid. A bit more modern, so maybe, Keith, I think Next Karate, it's wild to think. I mean, that movie's like 30 years old now. I mean, I think that was 94 was Next Karate Kid, which is crazy to think about. But the Karate Kid, or I guess just Karate Kid, originally we've joked about it before, called the Kung Fu Kid, because the Jaden Smith, Jackie Chan movie, they are doing Kung Fu. It was called the Kung Fu Kid. And then the studio was like, well, people know the name Karate Kid, so you got to change it. And they were like, well, we don't do karate in the movie. And they were like, you got to change it. So they did. But I want to say that was like maybe 2009. So still, I mean, like 15 years ago, again, crazy. But how do you feel about this one? Is this more fresh on your mind at all?
Yeah. I think I remember watching it when it first came out. And I think I enjoyed it too. But yeah, I did like how they kind of flipped the script. And instead of this kid being in America and having an immigrant like Mr. Miyagi, it's vice versa. You know, you have an American kid trying to fit in with the Chinese culture and, you know, and they have all those bullies making fun of him because he looks different from them. And he doesn't speak their language, and it's just a whole mess. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the Jackie Chan. I don't remember what Jackie Chan's name was. It wasn't Miyagi. It was something different.
Mr. Han.
Yeah, Mr. Han. Yeah. Yeah, he plays the mentor type character to take him in and kind of teach him a little bit more about the culture, and then teaches him how to defend himself as well. But I thought that was a good choice to have Jackie Chan in there, because I love Jackie Chan. They almost probably could have made a sequel to that one too. Who knows? But
I guess we're halfway doing that.
Yeah, I guess we'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, from what I remember on that one, I just remember him having his own bullies. I can't remember if they do a whole karate kung fu competition or not in that. I remember Mr. Han's story was kind of sad, kind of like Mr. Miyagi's. Mr. Han also had like a wife and kid that had died in a car accident. But I do remember like the fighting scenes in the Jaden Smith in Jackie Chan movie was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan always looks good fighting in whatever movie he's in.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, the pacing and kind of the beats are very similar. Like, it does end with a tournament as well against his main bully. So it is, it's pretty beat for beat similar, but I think it was a cool choice to make all like the kid characters younger. And like you said, it's one thing for Daniel LaRusso to have to move from like Jersey to California and being like the fish out of water. It's another thing for Jaden Smith to move from America to China and being like, I don't know, at that point, maybe like 10 or less. I mean, Daniel would have been like 17 or 18. So it's like, this is a fish out of water story to the max. So even though the beats are the same, they made some really good choices in that movie, which I like a lot. And I'm excited to see how much they acknowledge in, you know, this new movie they're doing. So yeah, I'm curious to kind of predict where that might go. But again, Keith, we're doing the Quentin Tarantino jump around thing. Let's go back to Cobra Kai season 6. I think it would make sense to talk about the new Karate Kid movie. But I mean, I don't know how you feel. My guess, I know we're already like almost halfway through April, which is crazy, but I feel like Cobra Kai season 6 is going to come out. My bet would be like maybe September is what they're aiming for. I guess what I'm saying, I think it's they want it to come out before this movie. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, they could make this movie and then like it's just going to be like a side quest for Daniel to pop over. Then he comes back at the end and then it's like, okay, time for the final season of Cobra Kai. But I think they've said that they're done shooting, so maybe I could be wrong. Anyway, let's just pretend as of now that Cobra Kai season 6, the final season, comes out before this movie. So
yeah.
in that spirit, let's talk about what our hopes and dreams are for the final season. We talked so much about, you know, Daniel and Johnny's stories, all the kids, like kind of where they're at. They're on the same team, not going to this international karate tournament. You still have Kreese in the picture. He's escaped from prison, which leaves a big question of how he would even factor into this story. Like, why and how would he jump back into the karate scene? Because he would be on, people would be hunting him down, I guess. But then you still have Terry Silver. Yes, he got defeated by Daniel LaRusso, but I don't think we can count him out yet. He's got to come back. So I'll just kind of leave it at that. There's lots of things to juggle, but where are you at right now for the final season? Is there anything that you're like predicting, or is there just anything you're hoping for? What do you want from this?
Yeah, so yeah, we're left off with Terry Silver getting arrested because they finally
told. Yes, he does get arrested.
Yeah, he gets
arrested. Does he?
Yeah, but does he? Right? He gets arrested, but knowing Terry Silver, he's probably going to have some way to get out of that. Like either he's got some good legal team that's backing him that will somehow pull a string to get him out of there. Or maybe he'll pull a Kreese and escape from the cops. I don't know, but
probably.
But I feel like it's going to be more of like a legal thing because he's going to want to start his international dojo, or maybe he'll like flee the country or something and he'll start his international Cobra Kai franchise chain, whatever you call it, and then he'll have his international tournament that they have to compete in, and that's whenever. Maybe Kreese will join up with Johnny and LaRusso. That'd be...
You see, that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, based on that last season, it seems like Kreese has, you know, really come to terms with his treatment of people in the past and how he treated Johnny. And it seems like... I don't think he was at... I mean, he lied about a lot of things in that last season in order to escape prison.
Yeah.
But I don't think he was lying about Johnny Lawrence being a... Terry Silver said that Kreese's weakness is Johnny Lawrence. because he values him like his prize student. And we even saw that in season four, the previous season, during that tournament versus all of them. I think there's a moment where Kreese like tells Tori to like actually fight with like honor, fight right, don't cheat or something. I think it's in response to maybe something Johnny said. I don't know. So he definitely has a weak spot for Johnny. So I could see him coming to that side to a degree at some point. But I don't know about Terry. We also do know that I forget her name, but the female character that was introduced by Terry Silver in the last season to kind of like train some of these kids. And then it sounds like she's the one potentially running the tournament, or at least she's going to enter the tournament in the final season. I could see Terry going back to her, because in flashbacks they showed that like she knew Terry and Kreese from the Vietnam War era. So we'll see. I mean, part of me wants... It's crazy. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I also kind of want Terry to come back to the light, too. He was a good guy until Kreese came back up to him and reintroduced him into this world.
That's true. Yeah, he was kind of like...
I don't know what his story
holds. Yeah, he was just kind of running legitimate business, right? Whenever Kreese found him again, he's like, oh, I guess I'll come back.
It seemed like
he
was just living chill in Malibu with like somebody he had been with, a partner he had been with for a long time.
Yeah.
And then... it just took Kreese like coming up and like stoking some old flames, like mentioning some memories and like an idea. And then he went back to the dojo, and still, even at that point, he was like being a good guy. He was like, hold on, Kreese, like, you know, what you're saying is too much. You know, here's how we should be training these kids. But then like that just over time got twisted and twisted until he's back into fully old Terry Silver.
Yeah, I guess it didn't last too long. Yeah, because like we said earlier, he tries to make amends with LaRusso, with Daniel as well. He goes to his car dealership. He's like, hey, sorry about, you know, all the things I did when I was a cokehead in the 80s. Didn't mean to do all that stuff to you. But yeah, I guess he got that bug again, that evil Terry Silver bug again. It was the power was too much for him.
Evil in him.
Yeah.
People have also pointed out there's a character that goes to the hospital in the last season. They're in an elevator and they're riding up like urgently to meet with one of our other characters to see if they're okay. And when the elevator door opens, Terry Silver's standing there, which is kind of an intimidating, like, whoa, that's crazy. Like that scene. But then you also think about it beyond that. You're like, why the fuck was Terry Silver on like the fifth floor of a hospital? And so there's a lot of people saying like, oh, maybe part of the reason Terry got back involved with this is because like he's dying from something. He has like cancer or something like that. Then you think about later on the scene where he's like fighting Chosen and Terry's literally saying like, I'm willing to die here right now, like in this fight with you. It's like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So if they're playing around with that, then there is reason to think, well, maybe there's still some good left in him. But
yeah.
I don't know. They could do fucking anything with Kreese and Terry Silver.
But maybe I would like to hold the idea that maybe there will be some redemption for Terry Silver. Maybe.
I think it's possible.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of where they're going with this show, is like that everybody has like a good side to them, I guess. I don't know. But then again, you still want the villain aspect where somebody gets defeated in the end, everybody feels good about defeating him finally. Who knows?
Yeah.
Or it's just kind of one of those things where maybe Silver will have his international dojo, and then they'll go to the tournament in Japan, and then he loses to Eagle Fang Miyagi-Do, and then he kind of comes to terms with everybody. He's like, you know what? Respect. And then like he's cool again. I don't know.
We'll see. It's also weird because you think about all our young cast and who, like, who would be in the final bout, so to speak. And it's like, well, it's hard to predict for this final season because they're all on the same side as of now. So I can't be like, wow, is there going to be another final fight between Samantha LaRusso and Tori? And it's like, well, no, I don't think so, because at the end of last season, they teamed up and are cool now. So it's like, I guess I'm curious if there's one, like, if there's one of our young cast that wins the final fight between, like, I guess, like, someone else in a different dojo, like, who's going to be the poster head? Because we've seen it be Miguel in the past. We've seen it be Hawk in the past. We've seen it be Samantha in the past. We've seen it be Tori in the past. We've seen it be Robbie in the past. So we have, like, five, like, fucking winners on the same team now. So do you have a prediction on, like, which one of them, like, is going to win the final fight? Assuming that there is one. Like, I don't know how it's going to work in this tournament, but I'm assuming there's going to be, like, a one-on-one at the end.
Because, like, you almost want to say Robbie to, like, have the whole Lawrence redemption thing. Like, maybe Johnny couldn't be the good one, the good Lawrence in the 80s, but maybe his kid, you know, will be, like, almost like the Anakin Luke Skywalker type thing. Like,
does he win by doing a crane kick?
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah. Or Lawrence does a crane kick. But then you also think, okay, maybe it's going to be Miguel as well.
I think it's one of those two, yeah.
Yeah. And then...
just to tie it all in.
Yeah. Then you have Tori and Sam as the female leads here. So now Tori, I guess, is finally going to be on the Miyagi-Do side. I don't know. But then you, on the villain aspect, or the villain side, I mean, you have Kenny, the kid who kind of was good.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And then he becomes kind of evil towards the end,
he
right?
He definitely becomes evil.
Yeah, he becomes super evil, beating the
but
shit out of...
But remember, he did walk away from Cobra Kai at the very end of last season after, like, seeing the Terry Silver stuff go down, all that evidence comes out. He does, like... Robbie does talk to him at the end, but he's kind of... he's accepting of it, but he's also like, I'm not ready for this. And then he kind of walks away. So I think he's probably going to be on the team at the end. Like, he's going to be with our team, but he just needs he needs to step back a little bit. He needs to reflect on what he's done. Because he became a little asshole for a while.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. He was like beating the crap out of Daniel's son.
Yeah. Who was also an asshole.
He
for
was
a
also,
while.
Yeah, a bully as well. So he kind of deserved a little bit of it, but yeah, I don't know where they're going to end with it.
Well, what about like some like smaller stuff besides the ending? Because I honestly, because we know a tournament's coming, we don't know the format of the tournament, so it's hard to predict how like it will end. I suspect probably a win for our team, but who the hell knows? But what about some smaller stuff? Because like I'm just excited to see Johnny and Miguel's mom. Like I'm excited to see the new baby be born and to see Miguel and Robbie's reaction. Because whenever Johnny had that awesome scene where he like accidentally announced that like, there's a new member. It was whenever Miguel and Robbie were having that epic fight in the apartment. And then like Johnny's like trying to split them up. And then he accidentally says like, you know, she's pregnant or something like that. Or like, there's a new member of the family, whatever. And then like Miguel and Robbie both drop it and they get so excited. And then Johnny's like, badass. And then like, I'm just excited for that. I like the sweet Johnny Lawrence moments.
Yeah. Miguel and Robbie are going to have a new little brother or sister. I guess they haven't revealed the gender yet, but which is kind of it's hilarious. So they're all, I guess they're going to be all one big happy family with Miguel's mom.
I suspect so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. I will see what happens to Daniel's car dealership. Hopefully it'll get back on track.
Because that's what we're all holding out hope for, is that the car dealership keeps running smoothly.
Yeah, his wife is just like running the show over there since Daniel's taking like a leave of absence to teach karate to all these kids to take on the Cobra Kai dojos.
Yeah, I wonder where Daniel's story ends. Like, what's like kind of the final thing there? I kind of like part of me suspects like a final Miyagi flashback or something of like him like saying something to Daniel and then like Daniel echoes it. I don't know.
The Miyagi dojo like open up, I guess.
Oh, it's like the public? Maybe?
To the public, yeah. It'll be
okay.
More of a standard dojo. Or maybe not. Maybe he'll close it down and just have it be the nice like tranquil garden.
I think it would be cool if
it
opened to the public as like a single dojo. Like this is the only location, right?
Yeah.
Like at the same place where Daniel learned. But I kind of like the idea of Daniel not running it or being really involved. I mean, he's taught so many people. It would be cool if he could kind of step out of the shadow just a little bit. I mean, obviously he's made a good life for himself, a great life even. But the Miyagi thing, like we said, he's holding on to the past, I think, in some ways too much. I mean, it's okay to like, you know, miss a family member or miss somebody like Miyagi who's so important, but it's almost like it runs his life to a degree. It would be cool if, like, they win, Miyagi-Do opens that location, it's public, anybody can come, but, like, he's not really involved. Like, he, like, lets maybe his kids kind of run it.
Yeah.
Or even, I mean, Johnny running it would be crazy. That would be awesome. But, like, Daniel kind of stepping out of that just to be like, you know, this all worked out. I got everything I needed out, and now I can kind of just keep going.
That's
and save my car dealership.
That's a good call, having Johnny be the leader of the Miyagi-Do at the end.
Or even Chosen.
Or Chosen.
As we know, Chosen is one of the few people that knows the Miyagi traditions. Because in Karate Kid Part 2, they said that, like, the way Miyagi was taught by, I think, his father was not taught to very many people. It was like he was taught to me, and then Miyagi convinced his father to teach his best friend, who's the Chosen's uncle in that movie, who becomes, like, a big villain. So his uncle knew the Miyagi traditions, and then his uncle taught Chosen the Miyagi traditions, which is why I think whenever Daniel links up with Chosen in one of those seasons, season three maybe, it's really cool to see Daniel fighting somebody that actually knows the Miyagi stuff.
Yeah.
So Chosen knows all that, like, very intimately. So maybe that's kind of the easy way to be like, let's continue the Miyagi tradition. I want you doing this. I support you, but I don't think I should be the one teaching people.
Yeah, so maybe Daniel's just the owner, and then and maybe Johnny and Chosen do it together. They're like co-senseis.
That'd be sick.
That'd be awesome.
I love the Johnny and Chosen stuff in the last season.
Yeah.
It was so good. All right, lots of good theories, Keith. I know we've been going for a while here, but I just want to do at least a quick little check-in. So we talked about so much Cobra Kai today, which is important for this next question. And we talked a little bit about the 2009 or 10, whichever it was, 2011, I don't know, somewhere in that era. That Karate Kid with Jaden Smith and Jackie Chan. They've announced, again, I'm still so shocked they announced this. They've announced a Karate Kid movie. I think, like I said earlier, I think it is, as of now at least, called Karate Kid or The Karate Kid, starring a new actor as our young lead. And then we know both Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan are in it, presumably being the mentors here. Do you have any thoughts? Like, I don't even want to say expectations. Do you have, like, what do you think about this? Like, what are your feelings? Is this exciting? I mean, because I think it's objectively weird, but a good weird. Like, they're bringing, like, kind of the figurehead of the entire franchise in as a mentor, and then they're bringing in a guy that was in one movie, and which is weird. But then you realize, well, that one guy was fucking Jackie Chan. Like, okay, well, that's not weird. So now they're the two mentors for this new era. Like, what does this movie look like? I still don't know if I know.
I think you were right earlier. I think this movie definitely should take place after season six of Cobra Kai. Like, let Cobra Kai finish out, conclude, we get our cool ending, whatever that may be, and then we can move into this movie. So it's got to open up somehow with Daniel being wherever he's going to be. And how is he going to come in contact with Mr. Han? I don't know. Mr. Han's in China and Daniel's over in California. So how is that going to, how are they going to come together? Well, maybe it goes down like this. Maybe Cobra Kai ends with Miyagi-Do defeating Terry Silver's Cobra Kai at the end of Cobra Kai. And then you have Mr. Han over in China who's found a new protege, and he's just heard of this dojo called Miyagi-Do winning the international championship of Cobra Kai. And he goes, well, I think you're going to need more help than me. Let's go find a guy who also, you know, is the best in the business when it comes to karate. And there's this guy named Daniel LaRusso, who was the owner and mentor of Miyagi-Do, who just won this international tournament. Let's go find him or call him. Maybe his car dealership's coming into town. maybe he has another conference in China this time for his car dealership, and they'll go find Daniel and ask for his mentorship as well. Maybe that's how it goes.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see, with so much time passing, like 15 years, like, where Mr. Han is at. Because if I remember, I mean, similar to Mr. Miyagi in the originals, Mr. Han was, like, very apprehensive, had no interest in training Jaden Smith. And then it just kind of happened naturally. And then Mr. Han also did the same thing of, like, giving him these, like, boring sounding tasks, which ended up being his way to, like, learn kung fu or karate based on the studio. But so, like, in the last 15 years, like, is he more interested in training people? I don't know. It could be because, you know, Jaden Smith was, like, a good student, so maybe it kind of inspired him. I don't know. But yeah, I wonder if it's gonna be like a meet cute situation. I wonder if just, like, this new Karate Kid, like, finds their way into, I don't know, maybe just, like, stumbles into an encounter with Mr. Han, and then just, like, Daniel, like you said, happens to be visiting, and then, like, sees it and then it turns into this larger. I don't know. Like, the introduction for all three of these characters is going to be wild. I have no idea how you do it. Like, Daniel talking to Mr. Han, Jackie Chan, alone is going to be wild. Because they have the exact same story, he's probably going to be like, you remind me of an old mentor of
mine. Oh, yeah. You're definitely going to have that.
So, I don't know. I'm excited for the movie. I'm excited that Cobra Kai has kind of spawned more potential for this franchise. I hope it does. I just hope it's good. Hope it does well. But I'm excited to see it. This is going to be one that Keith and I, we have to see together for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've already entered the dojo, and once you enter, you can't leave.
That's the rules.
All right. Well, I think that's probably a good stopping point. We've talked to death about Cobra Kai in particular, the origins of the Karate Kid franchise. And it's fun. I like that we're doing this episode kind of early because it gives us time to, like, because we don't, at this point, we haven't seen a trailer for anything. So we don't know what Cobra Kai season 6. We don't know what the vibes are. We haven't seen anything. We don't know anything. We certainly haven't seen anything yet for the new Karate Kid movie, supposedly still coming out this December. So I like that we're doing this early because we kind of got some of our thoughts of the franchise as a whole out. We got some predictions out. We can kind of circle back on this later. We might force Austin to watch the movie at least, because, I mean, to get him to watch Cobra Kai would be hard because we'd have to get him to watch Karate Kid 2 and 3, 4, and then 6 seasons of a TV show. So probably not going to happen. Maybe we could squeak him in for a new Karate Kid movie,
yeah.
But probably not. We'll see. But I'm excited to watch those and see if we were right or wrong. But yeah, I think this is a good kind of stopping point, Keith. So yeah, I think with that, everybody out there, thank you all so much for listening. If you enjoy this episode, make sure you hit that follow button so you never miss our upcoming content. Also, please share us with your friends if you enjoyed this episode. We really would appreciate that to continue to grow our show. Please leave us reviews as well. Even if you don't write anything, leaving us a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever your podcasts, so does help us out. At The Arnies is our social, and thearnies.media is the website. We'll be back next Tuesday with another episode. We've been throwing some ideas around. We've been talking about a big movie that's out. We've been talking about a big TV show that's out. So I don't know what next week will hold, but be excited. Keith and I will be back, and the return of our Arnie, Austin, will be back as well. After a long trip, he shall return. But that's the future. If you want to look to the past, Keith, we talked about a huge franchise today. We did something, probably the wildest episode maybe we've ever recorded last week. If you haven't listened to that, Keith and I basically pitched what we think Fast and Furious 11, a.k.a. the final movie of the franchise, should be. And that kind of ended up being us talking about how much we love the franchise, also how bad behind the scenes it is. And then we were just like, let's take the greatest hits of all these movies and put it in to our Fast and Furious 11. And I think the quote of the episode is going to end up being, Keith and I multiple times each both said, holy shit, I have chills right now. And that was from us talking to each other about what a movie could be. Not even what it is, but just what it might be.
I think we forgot we were even doing a podcast at one point. I think we did. We actually thought we were making that movie.
So yeah, if that sounds enticing to you, I think that's an episode that anybody could like. If you don't even watch the movies, it's wild. So go check that out. And yeah, Keith, what you got for me?
Yeah, lastly, we want to hear from you, so please send us a message on Instagram at TheArnies or email us thearniesmedia@gmail.com. What do you think of The Karate Kid and the Cobra Kai franchise? Are you in love with it as much as us? Anything you say we'll read on the show and react to it live on our latest episode.
That's right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this one. We look forward to seeing you next week. We'll see you then. And I guess just in the meantime, remember, Banzai!
See ya.